And so this morning, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5. And Cleo, I'm going to have him come back up and read the same verses that we read last week, verses 21 through, go ahead to the end of the chapter there, 33. And we'll continue on our family class. Ephesians chapter 5. Folks, I really believe with all my heart, this is important. We have, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of America, for the sake of churches, we need to get the structure of the home back. And again, as I've shared with you for many, many years, there has been an assault going on the home. And the reason the world and the reason the devil is attacking the home is because he knows if he can divide up and split the home and have the home divided and people not even really understanding what a home is, he's got victory. And so I really want to encourage you. And again, we're going to talk about joy in your marriage today. And the way to have joy and peace in your marriage is to follow God's plan. And the common thing for men all the time, and I do this as well. You know, we'll get something that has to be assembled and put together, and the last thing I do is read the instructions. And I usually wind up spending hours undoing things that I did because I put them in the wrong spot, or I put the screws in the wrong spot, or I connected it because it looked like it should fit there and it should go there, finding out that it really didn't. And I would have saved myself a lot of hassle and a lot of time if I would have just read the instructions. Now, again, I'm still learning on that because I always look at the thing first and all the parts and start putting them together before I read the instructions. But in our marriage, God, I've heard this statement many times, and we're going to get this to child rearing as well in these classes. But I've heard many times, well, you know, you get married, you have a child, and it doesn't come with an instruction book. That's a lie. That's a lie. It comes with an instruction book. God gave us an instruction book. And if we would follow the instruction book, we would actually have less problems. Now, no child is perfect, and I can testify to that. I have two children, and they've still not reached perfection, and they're adults with children. But it would definitely change a lot of things, and as well as marriage. Is there a manual for marriage? Yes, we're all holding it in our lap. And if we will follow that manual, I promise you, God's word promises you that your marriage will be better. No matter where you are at in your marriage, or no matter what's going on in your marriage, it will work out better. And so I just want to encourage you that way. Cleo, if you'll come and read Ephesians chapter 5, and from 21 to the end of the chapter.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of that wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought the men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
And and you know, and talking again about some of the words that we read in the scriptures here, and when we think of that word submitting, I know that some ladies, if not all ladies, because again, it's hard to do things by faith. And again, words that have been polluted in our world today, which one of those words is submitting, and we make that, when we hear that word today, the world has made us think that that is a bad word. And they have changed the meaning of that to mean what it is not. And again, you know, when we hear that word, you know, that we're going to talk about at the end of the chapter today, you know, wives, reverence your husband. That is not talking about going, and although I've heard preachers present it this way, that's not talking about going, you know, in front of your husband and bowing down in front of his feet. You know, that is not what God is talking about here. And if a husband expects that of you, that's wrong. It's wrong and it's sin. That's not what the Bible is talking about there. And but as we look at things here, last week we talked about yielding. Yielding goes both ways. Yielding is simply a kind of an easier way to say submit. Our scripture started out in verse number 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now again, as we look at that, and whether you want to call it yielding or you want to call it submitting, there's some guidelines here that it says submit yourselves. And so that means that you're doing it voluntarily by faith. The husband doesn't make the wife, and the wife doesn't make the husband. What happens, I believe, a lot of times when we're in our marriage situation, and the reason we get such resistance is because we're always worried about what the other one is or isn't doing. And in a sense, what I'm talking about is what we're doing is, you know, husbands are want to make sure that their wife submits. That nowhere in the Word of God does it ever say, husbands, make your wife submit. Or it's your responsibility to see to it that your wife submits. It's not in there. It's not part of your job description. And wives, again, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that it's your responsibility to cause your husband to submit or yield. And you say, well, I don't make my husband yield, or you know, I don't try that. You know, as I talked about last week, it's that word that we use, and it's called nagging. We need to be careful because, again, the Word of God is very clear. It's submit yourselves. It's you giving and him giving, she giving, he giving, and what winds up happening is both needs get met. I use this when I even talk, you know, and teaching, as I've taught on the foreign field and taught here, about tithing and giving in church. You know, because a lot of the world, a lot of times, we get phone calls all the time of, you know, somebody, you know, we want to pay our electric bill. You know, can you pay our electric bill? Can you do this or can you do that? If everyone is taking out and not putting in, needs go unmet. But if everyone's putting in, and we're helping those who have need, everyone's needs gets met. Because now today you may not have a need. You may need to be the need supplier. Tomorrow you may have a need and be the one receiving. And it works the same way in marriage. That's why it's very important that both the husband and the wife yield or submit to each other of their own will and do it by faith. Because what's happening then, your needs are getting met and her needs are getting met, and they're getting met not by yourself or of yourself, they're getting met by your spouse. And believe you me, God's plan works a whole lot better. And so just some words to kind of give you some definition of, and so that we have a clear understanding, because of, again, the way the world perceives some of these things. For example, the word love, to have it means to have benevolence or good will for whoever you have love towards. You know, again, what they show us in Hollywood and on television, you know, guy goes to the bar, meets said girl, and they go home and sin. That is not love. It has nothing to do with love, although it is portrayed as love. You know, our teenagers in high school or in school, when they fall madly in love with this person, that's not love. It has nothing to do with love. It is physical attraction. And again, by the way, and we'll get to this when we get to parenting, you know, it is natural for boys to like girls, and it is natural for girls to like boys. God created it that way, but we'll talk more about that as we go along. Now, some words that we'll talk about here in the scriptures, and we'll talk about the word nurture. That means to feed or to nourish. The word cherish, to treat with tenderness and affection, to give warmth, ease, or comfort to. Protect, to cover or shield from danger or injury, or to defend or to preserve in safety. Cleave, to stick, to adhere, to hold to. Submit, to yield, resign or surrender to the power, the will, or authority to another. Reverence, fear mingled with respect and esteem. Now, that word starts out fear. Again, we're not talking about that fear of, you know, they're going to hit me. That's that fear of reverencing and giving respect. It says fear mingled with respect and esteem. And keeping these words in mind, because again, our world today has taken these words and they have polluted them. They've made them what God never intended them to be. And if we understand what God's plan is, it'll all work out for us better. In our marriages, we'll be at peace. Again, they won't be perfect, but they will be at peace. You know, as I've told you ladies, you know, I kind of feel sorry for you, but Tammy married the only perfect man. And, you know, so you all have to settle for second best. When a husband learns to prefer their wives, and their wives learn to submit to their husbands, they discover a joy only faith can create. And that is, it's very important for us to understand. When we trust God's plan and simply obey Him from the heart, marriage becomes what He designed it to be. I encourage you all, as you go home, I encourage you to look these things over. Think about, again, read what we've read here in the scriptures. Pray and ask God to open up your heart, to open up your eyes, and to see what is best for your home, for your marriage, and ultimately for yourself. And again, if you keep it in that order, or not necessarily in that order, because the correct order would be is for your husband, for your home, and then yourself. Your home would be a lot better off. I wanted to go over 10 things today. Actually 20 things, but 10 things that a wife needs. And then we're going to get to 10 things that a husband needs. And so, but we're going to start out with the wife. Men, pay close attention to this because it is very important. 10 things that a wife needs. She needs confidence that flows from your spiritual leadership. Husbands, your wife needs to know that you are the spiritual leader at home. And that doesn't mean by going up to her and saying, "Sweetheart, I'm the spiritual leader of the home." What that means is by showing it with your life, showing it with getting into the Word of God, showing it with leading her spiritually. And again, sharing the Word of God with your wife. I do highly recommend family devotions. But if you're not going to do family devotions, at least be in the Word of God and share verses of the Bible with your wife. That's a good way of helping your wife understand that you are reading your Bible, you are praying, and if you are reading your Bible and if you are praying, that will be evident in your life. And that is the number one and most important thing that a wife needs. She needs to have confidence that flows flows from your spiritual leadership. Men, I encourage you to be the spiritual leader of your home. She needs assurance that she is meeting your needs. Men, what we got to do every now and then is we got to show some gratitude. We come in from work, we're tired, we're wore out, we've dealt with all of the ugly people at work, and many times we come in and we fail to notice what our wife has done for us. And we'll sit down and we'll have a wonderful meal before us, and we scarf it down, get up from the table and walk away without even saying, "Hey, hon, that was great. I really enjoyed that." Now, I know in some cultures, a good healthy belch is, showing gratitude. But here in America, that's not what your wife wants to hear. And that's not what she wants to see. But again, we need to assure our wives that they're meeting our needs. And so what we need to do is make sure that we recognize. Because who doesn't want recognition? I would be lying and I would be foolish as a pastor to tell you, I don't want your recognition. I don't need your recognition. Well, that would be a lie. And that would be a lie coming from anybody, because we all need occasionally for someone to pat us on the back. We all need occasionally for someone to recognize what we're doing. And husbands, you need to let your wife's know. And again, by letting her know that she's meeting your needs, that doesn't mean pointing out the ones that she's not. That means recognizing the things that she is doing. The third thing, she needs joy in knowing that you delight in her as a person. She needs the joy of knowing that you delight in her as a person. It goes back to many times men, and I'll do the same thing. More often than good, I will come in and I fail to recognize my wife as an equal. I come to the point where I expect my meal, or I expect clean clothes, or I expect the house to be clean, or I expect these things. And what our wives need to know, and they need to understand, that we look at them as a person, not as the one who does the laundry, not as the one who cooks the meal, not as the one who takes care of the children. as a person. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, one of the things is spend time with her. Spend time talking. Spend time, together. And another way of doing that is, instead of sitting on the recliner being served, get up and help. And because again, we need to recognize that our wives work as hard as we do. Now that includes those wives who go out and work a job, but that also includes those wives who stay home and take care of the little brat. I mean the children. It's not an easy job. I promise you, it's not a job I want. I'm glad I don't have it, and I'm glad I'm kind of past that. I'm at the grandfather stage. I love the grandfather stage. Oh, that's so much fun. You give them sugar and you give them all the things, you know, that they want. And, you know, then when they're really brats and you can't stand them anymore, you send them home. And that's the fun. But your wife needs to know the joy. She needs the joy in knowing that you delight in her as a person. Glad you're here, Wayne. And then number four, she needs peace in knowing you understand her limitations. Men, know your wives. Get to know them. Find out what their limitations are. They have them. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you find out what their limitations are and point them out to help them be stronger in that area. No, what that means is you find out where their limitations are and you help fill the gap, because most of us, we typically, there's a few exceptions, but we typically choose someone we typically choose people that are the opposite of us. So their weaknesses are our strengths, and their strengths are our weaknesses, and we kind of we mesh together. So again, your wife needs to know and have peace in knowing you understand her limitations. There's just some things that your wife can't do. And again, instead of pointing that out, fulfill that area. She needs number five. She needs to know. She needs comfort of knowing that you lovingly protect her. Even though we have a world today, and this happened to me the other just yesterday, I was walking into the store. I opened up the door and I stepped aside to let a lady come in, and I will always continue to do that because it is the right thing to do. And she got mad at me because I opened the door and held the door for her. You know, I'll tell you why that is the dumbest. And what I wanted to do is I want to tell her how stupid she was. That is the dumbest thing that I ever meant. Did I mean it as, you know, belittling? No, I was honoring her. And again, this is what the world does. They change things around and they take things of honor and they turn it into something that it's not. So your wife needs to know and understand that you are protecting her. And men, it is your job and your responsibility to protect your wife, to make sure that she is safe. Even if she can beat you up, it's still your responsibility to protect your wife. And your wife needs to know that. And she needs to have comfort in that, that you are protecting her. And again, I'm not just talking about a burglar that comes in the middle of the night. I'm talking about anyone who might talk against her, anyone who might say something negative to her. You want to get me riled up? You criticize my wife. You can criticize me all day long. But you get on my wife, I'm going to clean your clock. I will not stand for that. And husbands, make sure that you feel the same way with your children. Do not ever let your children, for any reason, disrespect your wife. Whether they be boys or girls. Husbands, you stop that immediately. Doesn't matter whether they're little or they're big. Talking back, sassing, saying no. Husbands, that's part of protecting your wives. That is your job and your responsibility that God has given you. And you need to make sure that your wife is protected. I'll tell on him because my son, he wasn't an angel. He got his last spanking at home when he was 17 years old. And what he got his spanking for was disrespecting his mother. And that is one thing, and you can ask him. I always come up against that very strongly. And I would like to say it was only the one time, but as he grew up and got older and got to be a teenager and thought he could, he was his own boss, I'd back him up in the corner. I'd poke my finger in his chest, and I'd look at him and I'd tell him, "You ain't talking to my wife that way. I don't talk to her that way. I don't treat her that way, and you aren't either." And I would back him up against the wall, and I'd get in his face, and he would know that that was not something that I was ever going to tolerate. In my lifetime as a young man, there's only one time I remember my dad, other than spanking me, cold cocking me. And it was because I was standing there, not in my right mind, and my mother said something to me, and I smarted off. Well, just instinctively, she slapped me in the face, and I deserved it. I clenched my fist. Now, I never raised my hands. I don't know whether I would have or had the chance, but the next thing I remember is my dad with his foot on my chest saying, "If you think it again, I'll kill you." I got to honestly say, I never thought it again. Men, it is your responsibility to protect your wives, even from your own children. Never let your children be disrespectful to your wife. Always stand in there, protect her, and defend her. Number six, she needs your focus, attention, and quality. All right, men, are you ready? I'm glad you're all sitting down. Conversation. Your wife needs, she needs your focus. That means you're paying attention to her. And in nowadays, I left my phone upstairs. And nowadays, that doesn't mean, "Yes, honey," and on your phone or your iPad, I got you. No, she needs your focused attention. And again, men, I have done this before. Nowadays, there's really not a whole lot of programs that I'm interested in, or TV programs. I usually fall asleep before they're over anyway. But sometimes when we're watching TV, we'll get so engrossed in that television show that our wife will say something and we don't hear them. Now, it's not because they weren't speaking loud enough. It's just because we have tuned out. And again, men, when you come home from work, your wife needs your focused attention. You need to be listening to what she is saying. Listen to her hard time that she had with the children or her hard day. And she needs quality conversation. Remember, especially if she's a stay-home mom, she's been running around all day talking to little people. And little people, well, their conversations are very limited and very selfish. She needs your focused attention, and she needs your conversation. You say, men, I'm telling you, if you will apply these things, it will improve your marriage. It will improve the attitude of your wife, and it will benefit you. Number seven, she needs to trust that you will not willingly deceive her. She needs to trust that you will not willingly deceive her. Men, our wives need to know everything about our lives. We need to make sure that we stay above reproach, and we need to make sure that we don't deceive our wives. We need to be up straight. We need to be up forward with them, and we need to be honest with them. We need to let them know what we are thinking. And again, as far as things that you would deceive or hide from your wife, you need to make sure that you are honest before your wife. And again, you know, Tammy and I, in a lot of areas where husbands and wives have troubles is with finances, because you know, the chips may be low, and you know, husband may be hoarding back a little bit of money for something, you know, that he wants to kind of buy a little bit later on, you know, that his wife wouldn't actually be particularly thrilled with. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't buy it. That just means don't deceive your wife. I wanted to get finished here, and I want us to get out on pretty much on time here. Number nine, and I won't go into detail on some of these because you'll all get the picture. But men, your wife needs loving affection that does not lead to the bedroom. All right, we'll just kind of leave it there. You men know what I'm talking about. She needs to know you are committed to her above everything else. Men, there should not be anything more important to you than your wife. Your job, your possessions, your parents, anything and everything. There should not be anything more important to you than your wife. And she needs to know that. Now, again, that takes a little bit more than just saying words. That takes actions. That takes showing it, making sure that she is the most important thing to you, and that she is more important to you than anything else. And the last one here, and this is not the last one, but this is the last of the 10. She needs your Christ-like leadership and spiritual headship. Who's head of the home? The husband. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. God's plan, God's design, the man is head of the home. The wife needs your Christ-like leadership and spiritual headship. Men, as I've told you before, your wives will follow you spiritually and in the marriage if you are leading. If you are not leading, she has no other choice but to lead. And so I want to encourage you, men. And you say, well, how do I get there? Well, the first thing you can do is start reading your Bible and start praying, and making sure that your family is at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and being the spiritual leader in your home. And the headship. Now, again, as my pastor told me many years ago, he said, Mark, you are the head of your home. He said, but remember, your wife is the neck. And he said, try changing the direction of your head when your neck doesn't cooperate. But we are we should be the spiritual leaders, leadership, in our home. Now, men, it's your turn. All right, wives, 10 things that a husband needs. He needs to be respected for who he is and what he does. Wives, the same way that men come in at night and they don't give you attention, they don't give you a focused conversation, wives can be guilty of the same thing. Wives can wives have their way without words of putting men in their place, and I'll just use those words, and I'm not talking about the right place, but you know, men need to be respected. And again, we're not talking about the bowing down and giving abstinence, but they need to know that you respect their word, you respect their God-given authority. And again, these are not we're not talking about bad things, because if you're doing it right, you won't have for who he is and what he does. Number two, he needs to be, and again, we won't go into detail on this, he needs to be physically intimate with you frequently, all right? And because we are in mixed company, I won't go into that, ladies, if you need to deal with that more, I'll let you deal with my wife on that. But this is something, it is important. You say, you know, hey, preacher, you know, this is church, this is Sunday school, this is biblical. And we have gotten so far away from the biblical guideline that most young couples today don't even understand what a home is and what a relationship between a husband and wife should look like. And so this is very important. And then number three, he needs gratitude for how hard he works to care for you. Ladies, as it is difficult for the man to come home and, you know, he comes in and, you know, and looks at the wife and says, looks around and says, well, you ain't done nothing today. The husband needs you to understand and have gratitude for the job and the work that he does. Again, I know things are different today where many homes, husbands and wives both work. And I know in some cases that is necessary. But I want to encourage, especially the younger couples, don't fall into that. You would be better to have a good home and live in a tent than to have all of the worldly goods and both husband and wife work. Now, again, I know there are exceptions. I know there are things. But again, what we're talking about is we're talking about getting back to a biblical pattern in the way God designed things. And we need to help each other understand what it is. The husband needs your gratitude for how hard he works to care for you. When your husband stands up and protects you from a sassy mouth child, don't take the child's side. Even if you think the child is wrong or the husband is wrong, do not take the child's side. Now, you might, as a husband and wife, go back a little bit later and discuss that situation and deal with it, and then allow the husband to come back and change the punishment if it's necessary. Wives, it is very disrespectful. It is very difficult when a wife overrules her husband's authority. These are things to work on. And again, as we're talking about that gratitude, because again, especially when a husband is standing up and defending the wife, you need to make sure that they see that and understand that. Even if you feel they're wrong, there's a proper time to take care of it. But allow your husband, I guess this is the best way to put it, allow your husband to protect you and make sure that you show gratitude. Number four, he needs your companionship in recreational activities. You know, husbands and wives need to be spending time together. You know, again, and I've heard it so many times where the wife, she's got her vacation and she goes one direction, the husband goes this direction, or the things that we have. Now, there's some things that I like that Tammy doesn't like, and that, you know, we don't do together. You know, I like to ride my motorcycle. My wife will not get on it. But what I need to do is I need to make sure that recreational things that we both like to do, that we do them together. And wives, sometimes, I'm just gonna put it out here. Y'all can be mad at me later. We pull the mom card. And I can't do this because the kids. Or I can't, recreational things. And again, recreational activities. You need to get interested in the things that your husband is doing. Even if that's not something that you particularly like. Now, y'all talk to my wife and tell her she needs to go with me on the motorcycle, all right? So number five, he needs your admiration and verbal encouragement. Again, men function different than what ladies function. And I'm sorry, but yes, us men, we need a few more pats on the back and encouragement than what ladies need. Now, that doesn't mean they don't need them. You need to show admiration and verbal encouragement. One of the biggest problems that are in marriages today is we don't compliment each other enough. We're very apt at pointing out the bad, but we don't point out the good. Number six, he needs a warm and welcoming home environment. Ladies, and now again, I picked on the men, so please understand, I'm not picking. The home needs to be a place where he wants to come. It needs to be warm and inviting. I know, ladies, that you have dealt with children all day, but the worst thing that a husband doesn't want to hear as soon as he walks in the door, the kids did this or the kids did that. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And we go off, or the wives go off on the husband as soon as he walks in the door, and it's like, hello, good to see you too. I know that you've had a hard day. The home needs to be a home, and the environment needs to be warm and homey. It is a thing. Don't make me call you down, Wayne. It is the thing that we need to do. Number seven, something that men need. Men need a home that is well kept and orderly. And then number eight, he needs you to give him attention, attention to being attentive to being physically attractive. And again, I know this goes both ways. I'll explain it here. We get married. In the process of dating, you know, we men and women both do this, you know, we doll up and we look wonderful and we look beautiful. And then you wake up the next morning and you look over and, you know, you're scared to death with who's laying beside you because you didn't recognize them. Ladies, men function different. Ladies are by touch. men are by sight. And so a lady needs to be attractive and physically attractive to her husband. Basically what that means is just surprise him every now and then when he gets home and look nice. And then number nine, he needs you to learn how to make his favorite foods his way. You say, now, this is crazy stuff. This is crazy stuff. But it is important. And you ladies know what we're talking about here. And then number 10, he needs you to stand behind him, cheering him on in life. Ladies, I'll be honest with you. Us men, we're babies. We are babies, and we need encouragement. We need a kind of gently pushed along, the pats on the back. And you say, well, he's a grown man. He shouldn't need that. Well, unfortunately, the designer, he designed us that way. And again, if you think about it, why do wives have babies? Because a wife is a nurturer. For the most part, wives are nurturers; men are not. We all function different, and that's just what I'm trying to get across to you. And I better stop there. If anybody has any questions, couples need marital counseling, let me know afterwards. But I want to encourage you. There is a biblical plan, and these are just 10 things that I pointed out on each side. You all know what each other needs. If you love each other enough or respect each other enough, you will learn what your wife needs. You will know by the look on her face or the mood that she's in what she's needing. And men, you'll know the same when your husband comes home. By the look on his face, you'll know exactly what to do. And when we start doing for each other, both needs get met. And that's the important thing. So let's pray, and we'll have about 10 minutes and then get back. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day that you've given us. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as married couples. And Lord, and for those who are seeking to be married, Lord, I pray that you would just be with them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to get marriages started out right. And Lord, and you would encourage us in a mighty way. And Father, to see less broken homes. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to follow the plan that you have set forth. And Lord, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.